Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Mark Striegel, and we are about to get into part one of a recent Talking Metal live episode. We do these on Friday nights. The guests on this episode were Anthony Esposito, followed by Michael Angelo Badio. So in this part one of two, if you will, we're going to hear our interview with Anthony Esposito. Again, Anthony's connection was not the best, so yeah, you'll see what I mean. And after the interview with Anthony, we'll just kind of fade it out, and we'll pick it back up with another part two, that is, where we start with the Michael Angelo Badio interview, if that makes any sense, which I think it does, right? Okay, join me on Patreon, guys, for additional content. Okay, thanks. Here we go. Part one of Talking Metal Live, a recent edition of Talking Metal Live.
Yo.
All right. John Astronomy, Mark Striegel here. It is the Talking Metal live stream, also the Talking Metal podcast, of course, after the fact, but it is June 19th. We are streaming here live. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy that we're up and live and we fixed all the technical issues we had last week. And not only are we live on Facebook, but we're also live on Zoom. So
Yes. And who are the guests today? You want to tell us, John?
Yes, we have two great guests. We have a longtime friend of mine, Anthony Esposito. He's been with a bunch of great bands. Currently, he's playing with Jakey Lee's Red Dragon Cartel. And we have Michelangelo Badio, who's played with Nitro. He's done solo stuff. And he is an unbelievable...
one of the best. Yeah, really.
So
guitar players, yeah. And Michael is a longtime friend of mine. You know, Anthony, I know we went down to his studio way back in the day when he was in the city. We went to the Heaven and Hell show, I believe, with him. Does that sound right? Or at least hung with him, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Yes.
I've known him a while. I know Michael a little bit better. I had the opportunity of doing a That Metal Gear for VH1.com with Michelangelo Badio, which got like a gazillion views, which great guy. And I've been going to see Michael play live since I was literally like 14 or 15 years old. So always great to catch up with him. He's got a brand new record out called More Machine Than Man. And I just listened to it and it's just awesome.
Cool. So, Mark, I have to tell you something, and I want to explain this right here.
Yeah, what's up? What's that? That's like a tray or something. What's going on there?
It's a silver platter. So I want to show
silver
you.
Silver platter, okay.
During COVID, I've went a little crazy.
It's COVID time again.
A snow cone machine. This is an actual snow cone.
You can't go to the carnival, so you bring the carnival to you.
Carnival, so I'm going to bring it here. I'm going to set this down, and... I have actual real popcorn, people. Like it's made with coconut oil. I'm going to eat a piece. It comes in bags just like you get at the carnival or stadium. And I have a hot dog machine. So I got these things. It says hot dog. And then you.
Wow. So you got a whole meal there ready to go.
Hot dogs in here. And then I have, I'm going to save the best for last. Since we have guitar players on and a bass player, I have a D'Addario, I Love My Strings beer, draft Heineken that came out of a tap. Okay, let's do a talking metal toast.
Cheers. Ka-ching.
And then I'm saving the best for last. I have a Dash Vodka Martini. Go to dashvodka.com. You got to be 21 to enter. In honor of National Martini Day. Today is officially National Martini Day. My cousin Hank Reeves and Rennie Reeves told me, and this one goes out to them. So let's do a second toast.
All right. I'm drinking champagne. I should be drinking a martini. Dash Vodka, of course, some of the best vodka you can buy. I mean, it's so awesome.
Absolutely. It's handmade in Texas, and it's extraordinarily smooth. You would love this, Mark, when we're going to be getting together soon, I imagine.
Yeah.
Get your Dash Vodka.
Yeah. And I can't wait for the day. You know, I was talking to Emily about the show and I was like, well, I don't know when the COVID stuff is, we're in the clear, which it seems like we're going that direction already here in New Jersey. I said, we got to go to John's to do this. I like doing this every Friday, but I know like a lot of times we go to concerts on Friday. You have shows on Friday. So maybe, you know, we'll see where we're at after the summer, but maybe we move this to like a Thursday or something, or I don't know. I want to keep doing it though, because I'm having so much fun doing this.
Doing it. I love it. I'm very happy. I'm back in the groove, the talking metal groove, and it's really cool. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to push out this tray and I'm going to bring over my Dash Martini though.
All right. Yeah, cool. And so let's see, it's 8:06 right now on the East Coast, and we have again, Anthony Esposito, who, I mean, man, those first two Lynch Mob records, I got to tell you, John, I was such a big fan of those. Wicked Sensation with Oni on vocals. And then, of course, they followed that up with, I guess it was a self-titled record with Robert Mason coming in. And man, so, so much good stuff. Somebody is in our chat on Zoom.
It's a website.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So we actually have at least one person on the Zoom link, and they love Pornhub. That's a pornographic website.
Okay. All right. I love Pornhub. Do you love Pornhub? Not as much as you do, Pablo, but thanks for checking in. And we got people on Facebook checking in too. Victor Ruiz is watching. Victor, how are you? David Barnett says, loved Anthony and Lynch Mob. Yeah, you and me both, David. Rich Ward, what's up, Anthony Esposito? Well, he's not here yet, Roger. Or that's Roger Ward. Roger Ward. I think I said Rich Ward from Fozzy. No, Roger Ward. But yeah, anyways, cool. He'll be here soon, so hang tight, guys. Doug Winter says, sup, John.
Hey, sup.
Hey, sup.
Sup. I'm going to my Facebook, guys, so that I can see your comments and questions. So stand by for that. Yeah, coming up minutes away from Anthony Esposito, a longtime friend of mine and a great musician, great bass player, coming right up. Okay.
And I got to tell you, it was very cool to see Robert Mason back in Lynch Mob. I know Anthony hasn't played with him in a long, long time, but at M3, what, was that last year? Or 2 years ago, I can't remember. But yeah, to see him back on stage with Lynch Mob was awesome. I'm thinking it was last year, but those M3s, they sometimes blend together. They're so good. I'm missing M3 this year. It was postponed to September. I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, they haven't canceled it, so we'll see. We'll see.
Hey, I want to
say— my son Grant, you want to come in and say hi, Grant?
Sure.
You see how long Grant's hair is getting?
Hey, Grant, how are you?
I told him he's starting to look like a rocker.
I know, that's great. Look, he did a headbanging move right there.
What do you need, buddy?
You just told us to come down here at 8.
Oh, no, I said don't come down here at 8. Yeah. Here's my other son, Harrison. You want to say hi here? No?
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. So stay tuned, guys. Next week, Harrison Striegel might be coming on this stream. He's not coming on this week.
Brian Borges, Rich St. Van. Rich is a friend of Anthony's, and he lives not too far away from here. We should have him over one day as well.
Brad Dahl from Utah reminds me that Lynch Mob was 2 years ago at M3, and Brad is a guy I've seen at M3 a couple times, and he has a great online radio station, by the way, which I have the app on my phone, Yarg Metal. You should check that out, Yarg Metal, John.
And someone said that, Lance Walker, somebody commented that my mic sounds good today, which is great. These comments come by quickly, and I can't scroll, so thank you for said that. We are...
Night Bob is watching. Oh, my gosh. The legendary Night Bob.
Night Bob's on?
Yeah, and I said Night Bob's watching. We have a legend watching us tonight. Wow.
We have a real legend, Night Bob. In my opinion, the greatest ever sound engineer, sound man. He's a guitar player, too, guitar collector, and a guy who has so many amazing stories. And we are seconds away from Anthony Esposito. He is logging on as we speak.
Yeah, Night Bob, I believe they talk about him in that official Aerosmith book. I believe he's in that book.
He worked with Aerosmith. He worked with Kiss. He worked with Paul Stanley. He works with Ace, of course. And I first met Night Bob with Ace in Old Forge, Pennsylvania.
Cool. All right, folks. We're seeing if there he is. Anthony, can you hear us? He's getting logged in here, guys. We should hopefully have audio with him in a second. Adjusting the frame.
Hey, Ant.
I don't know if he hears us, but...
We did.
He's connecting to audio now. So stand by, guys. We have Anthony Esposito coming on the Talking Metal live stream and the Talking Metal podcast right here in hopefully just a few seconds. Anthony, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hey. Awesome.
Hey, yeah, you're looking great.
Well, thanks. I just showered. I put my riding mower all day, mowing the pasture.
Anthony lives on an amazing piece of property in Pennsylvania where he has a farm and an entire recording studio, and it's like a complex. And people like Jakey Lee go there and just hang out and record videos and albums and everything. So, Anthony, how are you? How's life treating you?
I'm doing great. How are you and Mark doing? How's everybody over there in COVID Central, right? Central.
Yeah, we're doing all right, man. I mean, things are starting to go in the right direction. We're seeing stuff open back up, which is nice. And we're doing fine. We're doing fine. Always a pleasure to talk with you. We were just talking. Do you remember hanging out before the Heaven and Hell show years ago at a bar?
You know, I was going to ask you about, because I let something slide that night that you said, and I always felt like I should own up to it. You had just went to see Lynch Mob. And it, okay. Right before that show with Heaven and Hell, I remember it was Heaven and Hell at Radio City.
Right.
And and we kind of met at a bar afterwards and hung out and drank. And you had said something, I was like, you said something that you just went to see Lynch Mob like a couple weeks before that.
Okay.
And it was the Re-Evolution tour. And I said, well, how was he? And you go, it was okay. He had a bunch of young guys in his band. They were okay. And that was me, because I had cut my hair really short. It was when I had my spiky haircut.
Oh.
And so I let you go. Like, I kind of just, like, let you go with it. And right. I was like, I should have told him that was actually me on bass, you know?
Wow. Well,
great. That's so funny, Anthony. Anthony, you were lucky. You can cut your hair short. You can have spiky hair. You can. It's back like the... It's to your Lynch Mob length at this point now, and you're lucky. I wish my hair doesn't grow. It just stays exactly the same all the time.
In this weather and in this humidity, I'd way prefer to have it short and spiky than long.
Yeah, humidity definitely plays tricks on my hair for sure. So the last time I saw you, you were on tour with Red Dragon Cartel, which... To all the fans, I'm sure, know that that's Jakey Lee's group that he put together. And the stuff is great. You were touring for the Patina album that came out in 2018. And so what's happening with Red Dragon Cartel?
Well, we were we only did like 25 max shows last year to promote Patina. And we're really proud of the CD. We're really proud. We put our time, it's a year and a half, to make and create on the ranch. And just, we really took time, and we're really proud of that CD. So we were gonna go out again. We had a run booked in April, and the whole COVID thing hit, so we had to cancel it. So I think I spoke to Jake today, and he's going to book some more shows in the spring. He wants to promote Patina more. He doesn't feel that that CD got its promotion by touring on it, you know? So we're probably going to tour that early September next. We have two drummers retired. He announced his retirement on the last tour. And we have a new drummer who I'm working with at the ranch. We've just been jamming and working on the songs. Yeah.
Now, did you say you guys are going back out in September? Like this?
No. Spring. Next spring. Spring, next spring. 2021. Spring. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Cool. That, well,
a lot of people were booking gigs, if like taking earlier gigs from 2020, booking them in the fall. But now it seems like the bigger trend is to just cancel everything in 2020 and start over again in the spring of 2021. So who knows?
Yeah, I think Jake wants to wait where people don't have anything in the back of their minds and there's a vaccine and people could just come out and enjoy the show. And, you know, we were trying to go out. We were trying to book a couple of tours that didn't work out. We were trying to go out with Black Label Society. We thought Jake and Zach on the same bill would be a great show. And then we were also trying to do something with Lynch Mob. And we thought Jake and George on the same bill would be a great show. And both of us, unless we could get something, we'd like to tour with someone else and not really go out on our own. This way it's more people, a bigger place, and we can spread the word more. But, you know, we're going to take what we can get, you know?
Right.
Wow, that would be amazing to have you guys, Jakey Lee and George Lynch, doing a tour together. That would be really...
Yeah, George passed on the idea. And that's when he announced that Lynch Mob was going out with Dokken.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Lynch Mob, it's been 30 years now. This is the 30-year anniversary of that just insanely good Wicked Sensation record, an album that you were heavily involved with and played on. Max Norman producing, of course, of Ozzy and Megadeth fame. Any memories you can share of that album coming together, like maybe going into the studio and working with Max?
Well, we brought in Max Patina. We brought that because I was talking to Jake, and our common denominator was Max. Like, Max did Bark in the Moon, Max Wicked. And I'm like, would it be great if Max got an involvement on Patina with Red Dragon? And so I called up Max and I'm like, hey, bro, what's going on? And he was like, oh my God, how you been? And I told him I spoke to Jake about you being involved. And he's like, I'd love to be involved, love both you guys, whatever I can do. So he ended up mixing the team. Back in with I was 22 when we were writing that record. I was the baby in the band. And I went literally from bussing tables in Hell's Kitchen to rehearsing in a chapel church where we wrote that record. We took over a church and set up on the altar. And I remember riding to rehearsal every night on my Harley next to Nick. Nick had a Springer Harley, and the two of us would ride through the desert from Cave Creek into Scottsdale Air Park, where this this church was. And I remember we really took our time on that record. We probably wrote for 6 or 8 months, and everything was new to me. The term first barbecue was the case with me in that record. I was sort of like in this haze, and I was so young, and I was just enjoying life. And I went from busboy to being in this big rock band. The same year, I went from dating my first wife to marrying her to having my first child. My son Tyler was born after soundcheck of the first show we did with on Wicked Tour. And it was just this euphoria, fantasy, dreamland that was just a whirlwind. Incredible. And I mean, Max, I remember Max because when we went into One-on-One, the recording studio, and we wanted to originally set up the band like we were on stage. One studio where Metallica walked out in the studio, the live room was massive. So we brought in a PA, we wanted to set up the band on stage, and we actually tried to record Wicked, the album, live, set up on stage. And we got probably a week, and realized that that wasn't going to work. So we went to the more traditional way, and we set up the drums and cut drums for like 2 weeks, and then it came time for me to do bass. And like I said, I was 22, I was green, I was new. And I really gave it to Max. He could have fired me. Like I was still, my hearing wasn't as fine tuned as it is now. And playing like you think you're playing right, but you're really not locking it in exactly. And Max, at that time, Max could have easily fired me. And we were in LA and brought in any bass player in LA the next day. And Max stuck with me. And it probably took 10 or 12 days for me to do bass, but he made me a better bass player by explaining and teaching to me by going through the process rather than just throwing in the towel and getting somebody else in. And after those 10 or 12 days, I was a much better player. And he taught me how to listen, which is very key in being a musician. It's one thing to play along with a CD, but it's another thing to play inside the music, inside the song, and listen to what other people are doing and lock in, you know? And I cherish him, and I thank him dearly doing that because he made me a better player. Now when I'm in the studio and I'm producing newer bands, I understand when they go through that, and I'm way patient and explain to them and try to teach them how to live with Max me, sort of pass it down, you know, keep teaching, you know.
Anthony, that's such a great story, and I really think it's great that Max saw something in you and was patient and worked with you and really made such an imprint on your playing and now your producing, and you're working as an engineer and producer with other bands in your studio. So that's a great story. And who better to learn from than produced Ozzy and all these other people?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend, and he's a legend for good reason, you know? Like, he's a teacher, he's a mentor, and, you know, like, he could have Bob Paisley in it to get out of the face in the band, but he actually took the time, and I thank him, and I owe him a lot.
Nice. Mark?
Cool. And then, of course, after that first record, it was about, I guess, 2 years later, you came out with the self-titled, and it was a new singer, Robert Mason, who we now know from Warren. I think he's doing Lynch Mob again, actually, right now. Any memories of Robert coming in and you guys going out with him and recording with him?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the whole Oni debacle and rift between George and Oni on the road, and George fired Oni or Oni quitting or whatever the storyline is. But I remember all the events that led up to that. And the last we did with Oni is that in concert live national TV show on ABC. It was a Friday night show called In Concert, and that was the last show we ever did with Oni. And then the hunt went on, and we auditioned a bunch of people to sing. And Robert flew out from New Jersey, and he blew us away. And we immediately started rocking record. And George wanted to make sure that we didn't fall into the same live pitfalls that we fell into with only performing live on the Wicked Tour. So we went out and we tried to burn Robert out. We literally took like a hellacious run up and down the West Coast. It was like 14 shows in 15 days of that we were headlining. So we were playing two and a half hour sets. And we literally were trying to destroy Robert's voice. And we couldn't do it. He just kept getting stronger and stronger. Every night he would deliver again. And then we try again. And then, you know, we pick the hardest songs like Street Fighting Man and Tooth and Nail, like all the high stuff that's hard to, and we try to blow him out and we couldn't, you know, like
wow.
And that, after that run, we did that little run. It was probably like a 2-week run up and down the West Coast. We went back to Phoenix where we were based and we started writing the second record. And that's when, Keith Olsen was coming out to Scottsdale and hanging out with us, and we were working on the second record.
Wow, right on. And of course, we've spoken about Jakey Lee and George Lynch, but you've also played with another legendary guy, Ace Frehley. You spent how long with Ace?
Yeah, some guy named Ace, right? There were times where we were on and we worked, and then there were times where we were off a lot because he was doing like science fiction signing stuff instead of. I think all total, like the day I met him at his house on his couch to the day that I got fired, it was probably about 7 years.
So, Anthony, you let me. Kind of go through your history with Ace a little bit for everybody who might not know. So basically, I think if I'm wrong, maybe around 2007, 2008, you guys started working together. You put together a new band for Ace, and you took it out on the road around 2008. And at that point, and really up until you left the group, you were tour managing, you were like the musical director, and you were really doing a whole lot. How were those early days for you when you were putting the new Ace Frehley band together?
Well, the original lot that I wanted Ace to try, which he did, was I knew Scott Coogan. After Oni left Lynch Mob, Oni had a band with Rowan Robertson from Dio called Violet's Demise. And they went in the studio after Oni was out of Lynch Mob, and they made an incredible record with Dave Jordan. It's one of my favorite records. I still listen to it every day. And it's really hard to find. The band was called Violet's Demise. I think they re-released it. They got the masters from Atlantic and released it as like Logan Robertson or something like that. But it's incredible. And Scott Coogan played drums on that record. And I always loved his drumming. And then when he was in Destruction with Nikki Sixx and Tracy Guns, got to sing a little bit. So I went to see him do this Led Zeppelin. He does this cover band where he plays drums and sings lead. And close your eyes, and he's doing Bonham and Plant, and you swear it's them. He's that good. And I was like, he was Australia. And I was like, Scott, you got to get up here. I really want you to be Ace's drummer because you sing so great. It'll open us up to do the Kiss stuff that Paul sings. Like we could do Love Gun and we could do all those songs if you get up here. And so we flew up and he came up and stayed at my apartment in New York. And at the time, my buddy Jason, I played for a minute in the Bullet Boys with him. He was close to our age, and he wanted to play guitar with Ace. He grew up on Ace's riffs, you know? So I was like, okay, great. Like, so that's the band. So Jason flew in, stayed at my apartment, and we went up, we rehearsed once at Schoolhouse, my studio in Manhattan. And then the next day, I really wanted to go up to Ace's house and see the guitar collection and everything. So I was like, hey, Ace, what if we come up and jam again today? You know, I'll bring Scott and Jason up on Metro North and we'll jam out up to Osman, you know, and we'll play again. Because I really wanted Hooker to see Ace's collection, you know. And so we went up and we jammed again. We had a great time. But Jason needed to work. And we were going to do the Anomaly record. And Ace obviously was going to play all the guitars. So that was when Jason and Alice Cooper's band and toured with Eric on drums. Singer was playing drums. And they toured. I saw them with Heaven and Hell and Queensryche at Jones Beach. And Jason was playing guitar with Alice Cooper. And then Jason got out fighting a death punch. So then we held the audition again. We had like probably 10 guitar players come out to a rehearsal room in Manhattan. And that's when we hired Derek.
Derek, right. And that's Derek Hawkins, who we've had on the show as well. Well, I thought that line was great. I only saw you guys with that lineup one time, and that was at the Hard Rock Cafe in New York. The special gig that you
That was the first gig. That was, well, actually, it was the second gig. We played the Chants the night before as a tune-up, and it was the Halloween show in Times Square. It was right. Ace's return.
Yeah, which was a great show. And then, and you guys toured back then, and then when the group regrouped again a year or two later, that's when Todd Youth. The late Todd Youth, it's so sad that he became the guitar player.
Yes. And that, and then after that, something happened between Coogan and Ace, and then Matt was the drummer.
And Matt Starr, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the Anomaly tour. First tour was called the Rocket Ride Tour. I always try to tell Ace, you know, I'm like, it's always Ace really at Kiss artist in the liner notes, you know, and everything. I mean, that carries some weight. You know, being ex-Kiss, your fans are going to want to show. They're not just going to want you to show up on rented backline like a bar band and just rip through the songs. They're going to want to show. So when we went out with the Rocket Ride Tour, we wore the face suits, we had a backdrop lighting from the floor, we had smoke, we had lasers, we had a walk-on kind of introduction, and it was, I always thought, like, it's got to be a show, you're not a bar band, you know, Kiss was always known for putting on a show, you know, you don't have to go to that extent, but you have to do more than just show up on rented gear and blaze through the songs, you know.
Right. Anthony, you made one of my favorite ever, or not one, but you made the blue mirrored speaker cabinets, and you did an amazing job. And I remember just, there was a show in Tampa, and the whole back line was set up that you created, and it just looked so good. But anywhere you set up that back line, it looked great.
And we built big heads, the dummy Marshall, small heads with the lights on them, and yeah, I mean, it was a show. You know? Before I knew you were in store for an event, you know, And he's killing back then. He was playing great. He was ripping. Like that, the Rocket Ride and the Anomaly tours were, we were moving some air. It was, you know.
And Anthony, you told me that you have been speaking to Ace about once a month. You said, you know, you're keeping in touch.
Yeah, you know, quick little texts here and there. And I always check in. He's still my friend, and we're still brothers, you know. Like, it's just, I'm glad he's back on the East Coast now, and I'm glad he's happy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anthony, what was I gonna say? There was a gig, and this is not what I was gonna say. Oh, I know what I was gonna say, but I wanted to tell you there was one gig that we thought you might come to. It was in Philly, and Ace was like, yeah, we got to get Anthony up to play, that would have been a great thing, but I think something, came up and it was in PA and we just couldn't get it together to, I think maybe just your schedule, maybe you were mixing somebody at that point, but,
it's kind of like I got cold feet, you know, like it's kind of like, I wanted to go see Rocco and Night Bob and Ange and all the guys, you know, and all the guys that were there when I was there, but it's kind of like, you know, going to see your old band, it kind of sucks, you know? It's like, it's kind of like seeing, you know, I don't know.
You know what I would say? It's almost like seeing your girlfriend with a different guy, right?
Yeah, it's just weird. And I felt weird. And like, you know, I'd love to go see, hang out, maybe go to dinner and shoot the shit with him. But, you know, I don't, it's kind of weird, you know, like, I just, the same thing with Lynch Mob. It's like, Oni always calls me when they play, like, oh, come see us. I'm like, I don't want to sit there, you know, like, it's kind of weird, you know.
There's a really funny thing that goes around on the internet, and it says, this is what a musician feels like at a concert, and they showed a football game, and like, football players, and then there's like, one guy in the stands with like a football uniform on, and that's sort of how you feel. Like you're like,
yeah,
I'm supposed
to. My wife loves to go to shows. I don't like to go to shows because I get kind of pissed off that I'm not touring. You know, like it's like I get pissed off that I'm not working, and you know, and I love to tour, and I love playing music, and I love performing, and I really love the road. So if I go see another band, even if it's a band I've never been in, I still get like kind of pissed. Like I want to be out there, you know, I want to be on the bus. I want to be rolling. I want to be playing. I want to be in front of my bass amp, moving air, you know, it kind of sucks, you know.
Mark, I'll turn it back over to Mark, but I just wanted to say one quick thing. Anthony, I learned a lot from you. When we were on tour together, you were a great tour manager, like a musician / tour manager at the same time. And I think we made a great team when we were together.
We did.
Ace.
You had the harder part, though. You had the harder job. Dealing with Ace and Rachel was way harder than dealing with 10 guys in the band and the crew.
But anyway, Anthony, I thank you for everything that you taught me. And I thought we had some great times, you know, all around the country.
We're glad I could help.
And Anthony, I definitely want to circle back to what you said earlier in the interview before we let you go. There is new music being worked on by Red Dragon Cartel, correct?
No. Well, he's going to.
You said a few new songs or something?
I don't know what Jake's doing in Vegas. He might be noodling on his guitar and coming licks. I haven't heard anything. But okay. What he said was he would love to tour spring 2021. And then after we tour on Patina and give it its due, then he could reevaluate anything and then look and see if he wants to do another record or not.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that. And when Jake pulls out older songs from his catalog to play live, out of those songs, the older songs, what are some of your favorite to play?
Well, we don't really do many old stuff. I mean, we do a lot more Badlands. Ozzy, when I first joined, we did the hits. We did Bark at the Moon, and we did Shot in the Dark, And we did more of those. But nowadays, he doesn't really want to play those. He only wants to play the songs that Ozzy never played live. We did Spiders, which was Bark at the Moon's B-side.
B-side, right, wow.
And then I think next tour we're going to do Waiting for Darkness, because they're songs that Ozzy never played live. And as far as the Badlands stuff goes, I'm a big Voodoo Highway guy, you know? I love Voodoo Highway. I love Soul Stealer. I love Last Time. I love that 3 Day Funk. That was the record that I really loved. He just picks him out whatever he wants to play, you know, and we just learn him and do him. Yeah, you know, it's pretty much it is Jake's band. We're just there to help him get his musical vision across, you know. He calls all the shots.
Wow. Well, that would be it. Waiting for Darkness was just an incredible song that closed the Bark at the Moon record. I believe in years later, when they reissued it, they put Spiders actually as the last song, but it was such an amazing closer for that record. And that would be an absolute treat to see you guys play live. So you're thinking maybe in 2021.
I mean, I remember when Max came out to mix Patina, he came out to the studio to listen to recorded versions of the songs that at that point were where they were. And he loved the record. And I took him and Jake to this barbecue joint. And this barbecue joint was like a biker joint. And there were like 5 or 10 people in there. And Max got up from the bar to go to the bathroom. And Jake went out to the parking lot to call his wife. And I went to the jukebox and I put Bark at the Moon on the jukebox. And then when the two of them came back in, they sat next to me at the bar, and all the bikers and biker chicks who were shooting pool were all singing along and rocking it out. And little did they know that like Jakey Lee and Max Norman were sitting at the bar 5 feet from them, you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they bitched and moaned. They don't like, neither of them liked the mix on that record. They both felt that Max should have mixed it. They both said that the keyboard is too loud and the guitars aren't loud enough.
And who mixed that? I believe that was Tony Bongiovi, who I believe mixed it.
Tony, I was in a band. The band I was in right before I joined Lynch Mob was managed by Tony Bongiovi. The band was called French Lick, because everybody in the band except me was from French Lick, Indiana. And we used to sleep in Tony Bongiovi's apartment on the penthouse at Power Station. And we just helped out around the studio. And that's where I think I caught the studio bug, you know. And
Tony
Jovi was our manager of the band. But
wow, okay. Record,
I don't know, neither Jake nor Max knew why Max didn't mix it. He had just come off Diary of a Madman, which was an incredible record, you know. And the sound on that was incredible, you know?
Yeah. So, you know what, Anthony, before we let you go, I just want to make sure we get a chance to talk about your complex, your amazing studio, and some of the new bands that you're working with in the Pennsylvania area.
Yeah, I mean, the studio's, it's called Obscenic Arts. It's online. I'm a little bit north of Gettysburg and a little bit south of Harrisburg, about 2.5 hours from Manhattan. And it's a 10-acre horse ranch. And I built a recording studio in this massive chicken coop and a 3-car garage-sized carriage house. And bands come out. And from national bands to bigger bands, they stay on the ranch. We record, and we get a good positive energy and a good recording, and everybody's always happy with the end result. I've been working with some really great new bands. There's a great band out of New York called Rider that their new CD just came out that I did called Killer Karma. And I also work with this band out of New Jersey called Dogs of Reason. that's very Black Crowes, Led Zeppelin-y. And I'm working with this band called the War Brothers out of Connecticut that are very early Motley, early Van Halen. They're four brothers, two sets of twins, 2 years apart. Wow. Like mid-20s. And their father taught them right. They were raised on old school metal, like Van Halen and early Motley. And they play, and they're really great. They were just out here last weekend. We were cutting vocals. And then I'm working on this really great new project called Legendary Artists. And it's this great couple that owned an amazing bar in San Jose called The Rock Bar. And they moved to Reno. And it's got a lot of people that played The Rock Bar on it. The first song I just mixed had Frank Hannon from Tesla and George Lynch and Greg Golden and Joe Retta on it, a great song called Cherokee. And Gary Hoey's on one song. Then there's another song they're talking about maybe getting George, Warren, and Jake to all play on, or Kirk Hammett, Warren, and Jake to play on. It's just this great record with all these big kind of names, and just doing song by song. And it's going to be a singles-based format, and they're going to release a new song every other month, you know. And first song will be Cherokee with Frank from Tesla and Greg Golden and Joe Retta and George Lynch on. I just finished mixing it 2 days ago.
Excellent, Anthony. So we can't wait to hear that. You definitely keep us posted, and we'll let everybody know when that's out. And we want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, Anthony, my longtime friend. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Hey, John. John, which Les Paul is my guest for the gift for the guest one?
Oh, okay.
Don't I get a parting gift or something?
Yeah, this looks like an Ace guitar. This will be it.
Free pickup.
Classic.
Beautiful. All right, I'll take it. It's black. You know me. Everything, every bass I own is black.
Absolutely. Anthony, I don't know
thank if you.
Michael Anthony's video, but hey, Michael, he's just logged on now. And Anthony, thank you so much. I will be.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for having me on and letting me promote Patina. Bye, Mark. Thank you.
Keep us posted on all that new music you're recording. Anthony, it sounds like you're working with some great bands. We can't wait to hear it. And always an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
And ladies and gentlemen, a guy that I've been a fan.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.